teach to an empty Miller Hall. I've tried. I want to add my welcome to Spence's, and I realize that, you know, getting folks off of their schedule on Sunday is not an easy thing to do. You kind of get ingrained with what you've done for 175 years, and it becomes hard to change. But this one Sunday is an exciting day. It really is. I wish you could be in my shoes up here and look out at a packed Miller Hall. And I wish you could rejoice in all the different parts of the body, all the different parts together as one body. This would not happen, this one Sunday. We couldn't thank everybody individually who contributed, but it would be a mistake not to give a special thanks to somebody who's probably not even in here because he's probably got his sleeves rolled up somewhere, moving a table and serving folks. But that's Billy Dempsey and Debbie. Billy and Debbie have certainly been models of service over this week, and obviously beyond that. But to turn the playground over and get it into the gym at 7:15 this morning, and to see all the different parts of the body of Christ out there just doing that, the deacons that mobilized, the volunteers that were here, that was really, you know, I told Anna that was really like a vision of, you know, kind of a visual, I guess, of exactly the message we want one Sunday to communicate to you and to you guys and to all of us here. So let's get started. If you want to open your Bibles, we're actually just going to look at one verse. We're going to be in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. We're going to look only at verse 11. Only at verse 11. And if you wonder what we're doing here together this morning, if it hasn't yet been communicated clearly to you, then the short answer really is that we are here gathered together as one body, remembering our one mission, considering our stewardship, and doing something together that if you're like me, you probably don't do enough, but it's an integral part in the growing of our discipline of giving. We're here, first and foremost, quite simply, to remember. To remember. It sounds simple, right? Just to remember. To remember, to celebrate corporately, like there's reverb here, to celebrate corporately what God has done, what God is doing, and to think ahead about what God can do in the lives of real people through real ministries, all for His glory, as we heard this morning. So take a look down at Psalm 77. We'll focus on 11, and the focus, I mean, will be brief. This is really just going to be a tone setter for the speakers that we're going to bring up here. I'll read verses 10 through 12 just to give it a little bit of context. But Psalm 77, 10 through 12, the psalmist writes, "And then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds." Amen. I'd encourage you to look at that psalm in its entirety, perhaps this afternoon or some other time. That psalm actually begins as a very deep and disturbing lament. The first 9 verses of Psalm 77 are some of the hardest verses and the deepest verses of sadness, of lament, that the psalmist writes. But then here in verse 10, in the midst of this lament, the psalmist undertakes a really important biblical step in his own discipleship, his own growth, in the midst of a lot of hurt. And that is, he quite simply takes the time to remember and to think with some intention of what God has done. He's taking a deliberate step in reminding himself, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, he's talking to himself. He's talking to himself of God's mighty acts in redemption, if you go on and complete the reading of the psalm. He's talking to himself of God's bountiful gifts of grace and mercy. This isn't the remembering that my children do when they're memorizing math facts or spelling words, as fun as I promise you that still is. This is the remember that you live when you sit with your family at a family reunion and laugh over stories that are 20 years old that rush over you with intense emotion. This is the remember of a child sitting at the foot of his grandfather and saying, "Tell me what the war was like. and being taken back to a place that he has never seen, but feeling like he can get a glimpse of all that went on. This remember is deliberate. This is intentional. This is a thoughtful act that brings to mind with intense emotion what has been done by our Savior God. That is what it means biblically to remember. And so the question before you and me this morning that I hope to help get us there is when was the last time we did that? The last time we paused from the pace of everyday life, life is busy, to remind ourselves of what God has done and is doing through the body of Christ. There's a private aspect of that, right? There's your own private remembering of what he's done in your life. But more so today, let's think about what does it look like to remember corporately? When was the last time you thought about the body of Christ and remembered what God had done for her, through her, and with her? And then when was the last time we did that before we committed to give? When was the last time we thought intentionally about God's work in this church before we committed to give? Brothers and sisters, this is actually why we're here, at least in the Sunday school part of this day, this morning. Before we hear further words of stewardship, and yes, you will get that from me at the end. If you need it, you're getting it. We would be mistaken if we do not do what the psalmist does right here in Psalm 77 and 11. Remember the deeds of the Lord. If you remember, as Spence mentioned, and you've got a reliable mail delivery service, you received the church's stewardship mailing about a week and a half ago now. If you didn't receive one, they're actually scattered around Miller Hall. There's some in the bookshelves that sit outside the sanctuary as well. I hope you've had a chance to flip through it. If not, perhaps today or this week you can do that. This mail out is meant to serve a similar purpose that this joint Sunday school is serving. It's meant to encourage you to remember what God is doing every day in the lives of real people with real physical needs, with real spiritual needs, through the ministries of his church for his glory. Every day, by God's good grace to us, and by using the resources that he gives us, this one body is aiming to glorify God and be used by the Holy Spirit to make disciples in the North State Street Corridor, the greater Jackson area, and around the world. That's our vision, as you just heard. And so this morning we're going to hear about three ministries, day-to-day ministries, kind of routine, happens all the time, you might even miss it if you weren't looking, type of ministries that make an eternal impact. They're aiming to fulfill the vision to glorify God by making disciples. Ministries that are equipped to do their work because you volunteer and you give. And as these three speakers tell you about the impact of these three ministries are making in the lives of people around the community and beyond, your task for the next few minutes is simple. It's simply to remember. To remember what God has done, what God is doing through First Press, to celebrate, to rejoice, to give thanks to our Father in heaven, who does far more for us than we can ask or imagine. These speakers aren't boasting. These speakers aren't boasting about themselves. They're not boasting about what they're involved in. They're giving glory to God for what he does through those ministries. And notice even as these ministries come forward, as they fulfill the vision statement, they do so in the very places that the vision statement talks about. They do so in the neighborhood. They do so in the city. They do so around the world. So that sounds simple enough, right? You're just remembering. Like, we're not breaking into small groups. Nobody's sharing anything. We're just remembering. So, let's do that together as we hear from a few members. First, Mary Elizabeth Randolph is going to come up here. Mary Elizabeth is going to come, and she's going to speak about the work that God has done and is doing through the day school. And as she does so, think about the impact that the day school has on this neighborhood, on the North State Street Corridor. So, Mary Elizabeth.
I'm going to do what they asked me not to do and read to you, but that's better for everyone's sake. I began teaching at the day school in the fall of 2008 in the third grade, which, though I haven't aged a day since, means that the first class of students I ever taught are walking around Ole Miss and state and other places as freshmen in college. But it also means that in my 10.5 years at First Pres, I've had the honor and privilege of seeing what a life-giving ministry of the church, the school, is. There's no way I could share with you the impact of over 50 years of Christian education has had on our neighborhood and the community and the world. But I do want to leave you with just a small picture into the ministry that happens day in and day out in this building. I first want to share with you a story about maybe one of the lesser known areas of the day school. There are few students more celebrated and more loved in our school than the special friends, the small classroom of children with Down syndrome. Every year to celebrate World Down Syndrome Day, the special friends teachers send around a book to read to our class celebrating these sweet children. Last year in my class, this was extra special, as the sister of one of the Down syndrome students was in our third grade class. As we were talking about this, one of the little boys in my class realized for the very first time that Susie, who was just like him, had a little sister with Downs. And with one of those light bulb moments that teachers live for, he looked up at me and said, "You mean a special friend can have a mom or dad who doesn't have Down syndrome?" Well, what seemed so obvious to us was revolutionary to this child. So we were able to talk about how every child is, as the Day School Declaration says, is created in the image of God and loved beyond our imagination. Well, as I was sharing the story with one of the special friend teachers later that day, she said something to me that gave me my own light bulb moment. She said, "What so many people don't realize is our Downs program doesn't exist just to minister to special needs children. The next generation of parents are the students walking these halls, some of whom are going to get the news that they will be the parent of a special need child. And we want and we need the framework they put that information in to be the one we help them build here at school while they're young, that these children are a blessing and are fearfully and wonderfully made." I also want to share with you a little picture into the way the school is integrated into the mission of the church, particularly to glorify God by making disciples in the North State Street corridor. This year, our chapel theme at school is Rooted, which might sound familiar, as it's also the church's theme. Led by our Bible teachers and our new day school chaplain, Gary Sinclair, the children have been walking through what it means to be rooted in Christ and what impact that should have on our neighborhood. Each month, our chapel offering is going to a different group or organization who are serving the Belhaven neighborhood. The fire station on the corner of State Street and Riverside, the Precinct 4 Police Station, Blair Batson Children's Hospital, and the Neighborhood Christian Center Tutoring Program, just to name a few. This month, being the hands and feet of Jesus to the police officers meant using our chapel offering to purchase the two things that they asked for, a new coffee pot and a vacuum cleaner. It also meant creating artwork with scripture verses that they wanted to hang on the hallways at the precinct. These gifts were given to them this past Friday here at school, where they attended a breakfast given to thank them for all they do as they serve to seek the welfare of the city. A coworker once told me that what struck her most when she came to the day school to teach was the way the school taught the students to think, not to just answer questions on a test. She said, realizing that teaching young minds to engage to their fullest potential, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but in gospel-saturated theology, creates astonishing gospel opportunities for these children as they grow up and they go out into the world. The threefold mission of the school is to plant seeds of Christ-likeness in the hearts of children, pursue excellence in academics, and to prepare students for future service in God's kingdom, in their homes, churches, and professions. What's so important to remember is that the first two, planting seeds of Christ-likeness and pursuing excellence in academics, work together to make the last possible, preparing students for future service in God's kingdom. Our goal here at the Day School isn't to make Jesus a right answer on a Bible test, but instead to make him beautiful to these children. And then we pray for his beauty to rest upon them as they seek the lost to win, and that they may forget the channel, seeing only him. One of my favorite books of all time is the Jesus Bible Storybook. As it's telling the story of Jesus calling the 12 disciples, it says this: "Who would make good helpers, do you think? Clever ones? Rich ones? Strong, important ones? Some people might think so, but I'm sure by now you don't need me to tell you that they'd be wrong. because the people God uses don't have to know a lot of things, and they don't have to have a lot of things. They just need to need him a lot. This is what's happening day in and day out at the day school through the ministry of the church. Children are hearing and learning and seeing and being taught that they don't have to know a lot of things, and they don't have to have a lot of things. They just need to need him a lot. Or, as Catherine Day so beautifully teaches in Bible, that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So on behalf of the teachers, faculty, and staff of the day school, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to do gospel work day in and day out as we seek to do all we can to reach the hearts of students and to prepare them for future service in God's kingdom, in their neighborhoods, cities, and around the world.
Thank you, Mary Elizabeth. It really is a disciple-making ministry. Our next speaker is Gail Jones. Gail has the difficult task, actually, good luck, Gail, of giving us a glimpse of all that God is accomplishing through the various ministries of the women in the church to the city. And she's got about 5 minutes to do it, so we'll see how she does. All right, come on, Gail.
I've never said anything in 5 minutes. Well, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to share what God is doing through our women's service ministries here at First Pres. And like Zeb said, due to time constraints, I'm only going to be able to highlight a few of these ministries, but just please know there's so many wonderful ones. We'll start with women's Bible studies. Our church hosts Mom's Bible Study and two other Bible studies weekly during the school year. And over the years, women have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the faithful teaching of God's Word. One of the most exciting things about these Bible studies is that approximately 35% of the women who attend are not First Pres members. Next is our closed captioning ministry. This ministry is really under the radar to the point that I feel that most people don't even know it exists. Each week, a quiet servant transcribes the audio of our Sunday morning worship service so that the hearing impaired can watch it on television and understand it. These women make it possible for First Pres to even be on the air each week, as it's an FCC requirement to provide closed captioning. Imagine the eternal impact this tiny little ministry is having on a lost and hurting world. Then we have the Women in Need ministry Women in Need. It's our prison ministry. For the past 20 years, a group of women have been faithfully going once a month to the Central Mississippi Correctional Facility to mentor women inmates. Many of these volunteers learned how to listen, share, and reach out in Christian love to these women through the leadership of Marilyn Collins and the late Madeline Clark. We're especially grateful for Laura Damon Wofford, who has been a part of this ministry since its formation. Her compassion, her heart for others, and her wonderful sense of humor have blessed so many through the years. At the prison, we have a group Bible study with time for sharing and prayer. Most recently, Philippians and the 23rd Psalm have been studied. The friendships between our women and our inmate friends are rooted in the mutual love for Christ and have grown through studying God's Word together. Over the years, some of our friends have been released from prison, but many of these women have life sentences and may never be paroled. For them, our volunteers are a lot like family, as contact with their own families have waned through the years. Shannon, an inmate friend who was released several years ago, let us know recently that she's attending church regularly and plans to join the church soon. She's extremely grateful for the community of believers that have embraced her. She said, "You've always prayed for me, and I can tell you that the prayers are being answered more than you can know." Another inmate friend, who the late Tressa Love mentored for many years, has almost completed her 30-year sentence for nonviolent crime. A volunteer, while recently visiting with her, said, "Emma, You'll be going home soon. You've been here such a long time, but you'll be leaving a new person in Christ. Emma smiled and agreed, saying, God doesn't make mistakes, does he? The next ministry is Ruth's Refuge Gospel Supper Club. Ruth's Refuge is a ministry under the umbrella of Gateway Rescue Mission. They minister to homeless women who need food and shelter, love, rehabilitation, and discipleship. These women are seeking to get back on their feet and be independent again. For the past 10 years since Gateway was formed, our women have been going once a month to West Jackson to a house where these ladies live. A home-cooked meal is prepared by a group of women in our church, and then another group goes and actually serves the meal. While the food is being readied in the Ruth's Refuge kitchen, Lisa Lake shares God's word with humility and confidence and prays with these ladies. Lisa even learned to play the guitar so that we could sing hymns and songs together. Afterwards, we simply sit around the table and eat and talk, and we're reminded of just how much we have in common with one another and that we relate on so many levels as women. We love our children and families. We sure love to eat. We laugh, we cry, and we all need a Savior. One volunteer's perspective was forever changed around the dinner table one night when she realized that Kathy, a new resident, was a former elementary school classmate and neighbor. They'd actually grown up together in the same hometown. The volunteer was humbled, and her compassion for these women was heightened to a new level. Carrie was another resident at Ruth's Refuge. Her story is one of miracles and redemption. She had been living in her car near Smith Park here in Jackson when, out of desperation one night, she called a note written on a sticky note attached to her dashboard. It rang at Ruth's Refuge. The director talked to her and said she was holding her a place. When Carrie didn't show up, the director had an urging to call her back and actually talked her into coming. Our women got to know Carrie over the months as she began to turn her life around and hear of Christ's great love for her. One night at the dinner table, Carrie shared through tears that she had given her life to Christ. There was much rejoicing and thanking God for his great mercy and grace. After dinner, Carrie said she wanted to talk about her new faith, that she had questions. Aline Moorhead, in her wise and gentle manner, sat with her and patiently listened and encouraged her. It was a high and holy moment for all who were there. Unable to attend the suppers anymore, Aline still prays for Carrie and her Christian walk. So let me end by saying, to God be the glory, and just thank you for remembering and celebrating what our Lord is doing through our women's ministries serving the greater Jackson area. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. And finally, last but certainly not least, right, Gordon Fellows. Gordon is going to come speak about the impact that the International's ministry is having to glorify God around the world, sometimes really by not even leaving the hallways of this building. Gordon.
Thank you, Zeb. So how do you follow two things as moving and as powerful as that? I would draw your attention to the stewardship report. If you have one at home, take a look at page 12. Great picture of Spence dressed up as a pilgrim. Right? Every Thanksgiving, Pilgrim Spence comes to the international class and he teaches them about the Mayflower Compact and the role it plays in American society. So if you ever need a pilgrim to teach you about the Mayflower Compact, there's a great picture of him in here. You can look at that. So I guess if you're thinking about the mission statement, if you hadn't figured it out, I'm the part about making disciples around the world. But it's a really cool thing the International's class is. You can literally, instead of going around the world to make disciples, you can walk out the back door, walk across the hall, and run into people from all over the world every Tuesday night. So if you were to ask me, like, what is the International class, I'd probably respond with some questions. Did you know every Tuesday during the school year, people from 20 different countries show up here? They come through the doors of the church. They come to Jackson for various reasons. Some of them are here because they're academics. Others are here because they wanted to leave their country to find a better place, right? Some are just here for short term. Some are here because they don't want to go home. And they come to this church because they want to help practicing English, right? They want to learn about the culture of America, and they want to learn sometimes too about Christianity. So the class, in one way, is an unbelievable opportunity, right? But I'm just a volunteer with the class. I'm not a chief. I'm just an Indian, right? My job is to pass out paper. I'm really good at it. In a sense, the international class is also, it's a really easy opportunity. It's easy to be a volunteer for the international class. You just show up, you come with a heart that reflects God's love, and you can make a difference. The reason it's easy, and this is the thank you part of the speech, right, is that there are a lot of people that put a lot of work into the international class, and I don't have time to mention all of them, but I did want to call out two specific couples. The first, the outreach department's minister to Chinese, Leo Yin and his amazing wife, Wita, are here somewhere, I think, and they do unbelievable work in the international community here in Jackson and around the world. Unbelievable work. And then Steve and Catherine Edwards really lead the class and put an amazing amount of effort into it every week and do great, great work. So they need to be thanked if you see them. And then there are a number of people here in the room that volunteer with the international class. Certainly, if it's something you want to learn more about, you can find these people and talk to them. They'll tell you how easy it is. So back to the question, what is the internationals class? It's an absolute blessing to have these people come through the door. It's an easy opportunity to make disciples around the world. I think it's a really great way to demonstrate the love of Christ. Another question you might have is what do you do at the internationals class, right? Maybe it's hard. Is it difficult? There are a lot of activities, right? We do a lot of different things, but sort of the overarching principle here, right, the pillar of the ministry, or to use a bad term here, the straw that stirs the sweet tea, right? It's hospitality, right? And I can say this from experience. When you live in a foreign country, little things are difficult sometimes, right? It's hard to get a haircut, to go to the bank and make a deposit, or to figure out how to set up a new cell phone. So the internationals class provides, I think, a really important tool, right, to these people, and it's an important tool for the ministry here. It's hospitality. And smiling faces and friendships, right, they help people that come through the internationals class as they acclimate to living in a foreign country. And I think that's ultimately very important, and it's a way that God can further his kingdom. So if you've ever wondered, like, how can I use my hospitality to serve the kingdom? Or how can I just, if I'm a nice person, right, who shines the love of Christ, what can I do? The internationals class is probably a good place for you. We'd love to have you. Maybe another question you might have is, what kind of impact does the internationals class have? Well, some of you probably heard about the baptism that happened earlier this year, and really, we're really, really thankful for that. There are tons of stories like that. Maybe they're not as dramatic or as visual, but things like that happen all the time. What I've really learned in terms of impact is that Jesus brings his followers to him through a lot of different ways. In our class, that can mean through one-on-one discussions, where you just talk to somebody and you recurringly talk about something and it plants a seed. It can mean outside of the church activities and fellowship, a lot of times we plant a seed through this class. People go home to their home countries. They continue to pray. They continue to read scriptures. The Holy Spirit continues to work on them and ultimately converts them. And it's amazing to be a part of that. So certainly there's a big impact. And we rejoice in the way that the Holy Spirit works in people. We extend friendships here in Jackson that impact the rest of the world. So I would just say that if you haven't participated in any of these ministries, the day school, WIC, the international class, they're all amazing opportunities. And I'll add as an aside, we should thank the day school, right? The international class uses the day school classrooms every Tuesday. And it's amazing to take a PhD student or a doctor here who's doing research from a foreign country into a classroom where scripture's on the wall. They didn't see that in their country, right? They didn't grow up in a culture where raising up a child in the faith was an important part of their experience. And so it leads to some really interesting and deep conversations really quickly. So thank you to that ministry. Also, a lot of our international ladies participate in WIC Bible studies. So I think that's a really cool sort of example of how God weaves a tapestry together of seemingly unrelated ministries that really drive the same point of kingdom building and discipleship. It's really special. So let me just close by saying that any friendship to our international partners is a blessing to the partners. It's also a blessing to us Americans. Our international friends almost always return to their home country. But, you know, that doesn't mean we're never going to see them again, right? It's really, really neat to think someday the folks that meet in Patterson Hall right here and go back to their other country, we'll all see them someday in heaven. And we'll get to hear about the life experiences they had after they left Jackson. And we'll get to hear about the way God used them in their home countries and the impact that has. And I think that is just an amazing and important thing and something we all ought to be thankful for. So I would just encourage you, keep praying for the ministry. Keep praying for our international friends. And if you ever want to come see what international class is about, we would love to have you. So thank you for your prayers.
Thanks, Gordon. Ministry around the world, it happens here, happens down the hallway every week. It also actually truly happens around the world because you give. Many of you have been praying for Ed Hartman, who, as you know, has been in Iraq for part of the last couple weeks. He wanted me to report back to you guys that he is back safely, and he appreciates the prayers. He is going to have a report, I think, as part of the first epistle this upcoming week, and that can be another tool for you to look at, to read, and to remember the deeds of the Lord. Ed is in Georgia this week, the state of Georgia, not the country of Georgia. You have to clarify for Ed. But his report will be coming, I think, out this week or the following week in the first epistle. So why do we begin our stewardship thoughts with remembering? If we're going to think for just a few minutes, and it will just be a few about stewardship, why do we begin with remembering? You remember what follows in Psalm 77:11, right? We're not remembering the deeds of Mary Elizabeth Gale and Gordon. We're remembering the deeds of the Lord. And we, as the body, get to be the hands and feet of the deeds of the Lord. And you realize, I think, that without a soul and spirit moved to recognize what God has done for His glory and what He's doing around the world, stewardship giving really makes no sense. I mean, think about it. To give away what you would be tempted to call your hard-earned time and money to meet the needs of people that you've barely met, and then to receive no applause, no thank you cards, no congratulations, has to be a foreign idea to somebody whose identity is not rooted in Christ and therefore driven by the glory of God our Savior. But if in Christ you and I have tasted the transforming work of the Holy Spirit that reveals the Savior to our soul once dead in sin, and then stewardship not only begins to make sense, which is the first step, it begins to become a must-do act of following Him. If we remember what the triune God has done, and that's what we're doing, if we remember privately and corporately the deeds of the Lord, then we will take that countercultural step to loosen our tight grip on earthly possessions and give faithfully to God's vision work for His glory. And that's ultimately what stewardship from a renewed heart, from a remembering heart, looks like. You know, we could have talked about dozens of ministries as David and Ralph and Spence and I met and talked through this joint Sunday school endeavor. We came up literally with a list more than a dozen long. We had to pick three. Next time, perhaps if you give us a next time, we could focus on others. But I hope you recognize that these ministries are only scratching the surface of the work God is doing through this body. And if you're giving, if you're already on board as a giver, you are allowing these ministries and others like them to happen for God's glory. You know, giving, like almost every other act of discipleship, is an individual discipline with corporate ramifications. An individual discipline with corporate ramifications. You see that, right? Because every time you give, you are individually emulating Jesus Christ, who has given of Himself that we may be eternally blessed. And also, every time you give, you are supporting corporately ministry to people, real people, with physical needs, with spiritual needs. So it's an individual discipline with eternal corporate consequences. As a body of believers in this church, we aim to do a lot of ministry for God's glory, and we should. We should, because we're excited about what God is doing, about what God has done, about what God can do. We ought not back down from ministry opportunities in front of us. We have been blessed with much. This body of believers in this room has been given much. You know, Paul tells Timothy at the end, it's one of the last things he writes to Timothy in the book that we call 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, and he's telling Timothy, this young pastor, how to organize and operate his church as a what we would call a teaching elder. He says to him, he says, command those who are rich in this present age to be ready to give, willing to share, that they may lay hold on eternal life. As a church with a lot of resources, that's directed to us. You see behind me the overall budget for 2019. I hope you recognize, though, from what you've heard from Mary Elizabeth, Gail, and Gordon, that the budget is not line items. It is not pies in a pie chart. The budget is lives. It is lives that matter eternally. That's the budget. I use air quotes at some point. That is the budget that you are giving to, is lives that matter eternally. And the truth is that's a lot. The numbers are what they are because this is a generous congregation. So thank you for being a generous congregation, a congregation God has used to do much ministry. If you don't hear that enough from your stewardship committee, you should. Thank you. There is indeed much to remember. Buzz Lowry was so helpful with that this morning. If you think about the last 50 years of the initiation of a day school, of a Twin Lakes Camp and Conference Center, of the beginning of the PCA and the beginning of RTS, there is much to be thankful for, much to remember. And as we look ahead to 2019 and beyond, as one body of Christ, we aren't aiming for just a bigger budget. That's not the goal of the stewardship. Hear that loud and clear. That's weird, right? Not the goal of the stewardship committee to have a bigger budget or more disposable resources, at least not ultimately, right? Perhaps if the church was a secular nonprofit, we would be content with that goal. Our aim is greater than that. Our aim is more than that. We're aiming to give in abundance so that wider and deeper ministry happens to this neighborhood, this city, and to this world. What is, you can prayerfully consider this question, what is the 21st century ministry of First Pres that will one day be talked about like day school and RTS and Twin Lakes Camp and Conference Center? What is the next step in our ministry? Your officers are praying for that. As a congregation, in this stewardship season particularly, pray for wisdom towards that end. Let us aim to do more for God's glory. God has placed us in this city. He's placed where we are, and he's given us as a people an array of talents and abundance of resources. And he asks us to aim to do much because he has done infinitely more for us, and it is for ultimately his glory that we do these things. And so as we've done this morning, and as you consider your stewardship, your giving over the course of this week, we begin by acknowledging and remembering what he has done privately and corporately for us. I hope as God's people we're excited. I hope you hear those stories and you don't pat First Pres on the back, but you give all the praise and glory to God. We are excited for what has been done. We're excited for what is being done. We're excited for what can be done, all for the kingdom, with those resources that he has given to us. And so as I conclude, if you've been on the sidelines when it comes to giving, as Spence likes, I'm channeling Spence when I say sidelines. If you've been on the sidelines when it comes to giving, or you're not yet sacrificially invested, I pray that part of your motivation will be excitement about the ministry that could happen when the whole body of Christ works as one. I had a conversation this week with a man who had a massive stroke a couple years ago. At the time of his stroke, he couldn't speak well. He couldn't use one side of his body at all. In the couple of years since then, God has given him some return of his speech and some strength again in his arms and legs, but he's still not what he once was. But in the conversation I had with him, I told him how impressed I was that he had overcome this stroke in many ways because he was now functional. He was working. He was attending his grandkids' sporting events. He really was doing a lot. And he was gracious to say thanks to me because he's Southern. But he said, and he said it almost matter-of-factly, he wasn't complaining. He said, you know, though, as long as my arm and my leg stay weak and don't work like the rest of my body, I still can't do all that I would do. And as you can imagine, knowing that I would be standing up here this week talking about giving, stewardship has kind of been on my mind with every potential metaphor God knocks me over the head with. I'm finding stewardship under rocks. But I couldn't help but think about the church as the body of Christ as I talked to this man. Yes, there is much that has been done. There is much that is being done. But I wonder if we, as a church, with a lot of folks on the sideline and not being sacrificial in their giving, we're functioning like a body that has had a stroke, with parts that are weak, parts that are not fully functional, wondering what other ministry could be done. What else could I do? All the while knowing we could minister deeper and wider if all the various parts of one body were functioning, were giving as we should. Giving not because we're laden with guilt, not because we need to be more busy, not because we need to check a ministry-supported box on our Christian resume, but because we're excited about the opportunity to fulfill the vision of glorifying God by making disciples in this neighborhood, in this city, and around this world. So, we're going to close now because it's 2018 at First Pres. We close with a video. So we're going to close now with a short video, and then I've asked Billy Dempsey, is the good Reverend Billy Dempsey even in here? All right, Billy's going to come up here, and he is going to pray for us to conclude this joint Sunday school. Then he's going to give us directions about lunch. If you happen to come in late and kind of wonder, is there an 11 o'clock service happening? We are just eating. It's going to be a time of fellowship and meal together, and Billy's going to come give instructions to that after our video.
So sometimes when we think about stewardship, we're thinking about the bottom line. We're thinking about giving to a black hole, a big budget somewhere where all the money disappears into a pot.
Stewardship is really church members just giving their time and money, you know, to advance the kingdom. And it's what Jesus had in mind right before he sent into heaven. And he told us that we'd be his hands and feet, the church, the body of Christ, and he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to do it.
Everyday ministry is happening here at First Pres. If you think about the number of people that come in and out of our building each and every week, the opportunities that we have when we commit to God's work are really endless.
All of that is the fruit of the generosity of God's people here.
So many selfless people, not only giving their money, but giving their time, and it's making a real difference for the kingdom. God gives us the privilege of being a part of advancing his kingdom. Every time we put an offering in the plate at First Presbyterian Church, we've got dozens and dozens of wonderful ministries that each time we give, we're giving to each of those. And it changes lives eternally by sharing the gospel. And, you know, what we see is, in addition to changing lives of others, it changes our lives, it changes our heart, which is what God is really after in our stewardship.
How we use our money is part of Christian discipleship. Part of what it means to follow Jesus is learning to be sacrificial with the gifts he's given to us. We need to understand that the resources that we have, our finances, aren't really ours. He's given them as a gracious gift to us, and he calls us to use them for his glory and the good of his people.
I'm excited about the ministry at our church this year and what God's doing. And as great as this year has been, I know that next year is going to be even better because we serve a God, a great God, that's able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. So I'd encourage each of us, each member of this church, to pray about next year and think about how they can be involved through giving of their time and money.
The vision statement tells us that we exist to glorify God by making disciples. And the first thing that we need to hear is that God is at work doing that in us and through us every single week, every single day here at First Press. People are hearing the name of Jesus Christ proclaimed, and we need to rejoice in that, and we need to remember what God has done faithfully for our church. And then we need to think about what we can do in the future. How can we continue to minister to the neighborhood? How can we continue to minister to the city? How can we continue to minister to the world?